N-A-W-R-O. 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 This is N-A-D-Z-R.
N-A-W-R-O here? Yes, sir.
Tim, I was just trying out my new antenna on the statewide one. I guess it's making it all the way up to Richmond.
Yeah, Brian, doing a good job. So I just called up the board to see what we got. Oh, my goodness. You're like you're at 88% on the RSSI. Very good. Good quality signal. Good job. I know you already showed a little bit. I'll have to somehow see it.
I didn't mean Richmond. I'm going through Mount Clemens with Peter. That antenna that you've seen in the picture, I just shoved it in a piece of PVC and I set it up against my bedroom wall over there. It's not even outside yet.
For what it's worth, clear as a bell. Yeah, you're going to the Mount Clemens. Mount Clemens is coming up here, so the computer does the heavy lifting, but nevertheless. So that's the Ed Fong one, correct?
Correct. That's the Ed Fong DBJ1, the Delta, Bravo, Juliet, DBJ1. It's the one that's cut for inside the plastic. Next, I'm going to make a roll-up one for my go bag, which is a little bit different dimensions. Over.
N-A-W-R-O, I copy that. Curious, were there any glitches or problems during construction, or did it all go together good?
The only glitch is that RJ-174 that you use for the quarter wave stub on 450 and the RJ-174 that's leading up to the antenna. Man, it's stuff is thin. It's like angel hair pasta. And it took a little bit. You know, I know how to cut that stuff and, you know, cut coax and that. But man, that stuff was tricky. You had to play around with it a little bit. It took a lot longer to make than I thought. But it was simple. It was very, very simple. We should have a class on how to do it. Maybe at one of our meetings. Over.
Ah, funny you mentioned that. There's some chatter between the leadership. Dave is looking for other potential training topics, and antennas have come up again. So that's a possibility. It'll be interesting. And we might gear towards the spring set coming up a little bit, but nevertheless, I don't know what the timetable would be, but that has been mentioned because Mike's the tape measure antenna is pretty popular, so it'd be nice to, you know, maybe continue that thing. And whether it be that one or something else Mike might have up his sleeve, that the idea is on the table.
But sorry about that, Tim. My radio switched channels because it's on a dual watch, I think it's called, and it went over to one of the analog channels. I accidentally stepped on somebody over there. Yeah, I think we should do the roll-up antenna because everybody could put it in their go bag. And if they want to make a one for, regular antenna for the PVC, you know, we'll just tell them the dimensions. It's just slightly different dimensions. Dual-band antenna. And it's a piece of cake. A lot of the guys at the last meeting were asking me questions about the J-pole. You know, they were all, all standing around me, Don, and I forget their names, HAP, and some of the other guys, are all asking questions about these J-poles. So they have questions, so we can answer those questions, and then they can go out and they can build them. But I don't know how some of these guys are going to deal with this teeny, tiny wire. Maybe we should make a change to it and use bigger coax. Over.
Hey, copy that. I'm not sure if this is the same category, but I believe Mike was talking about there is one version of an antenna. I'm not sure what band he's talking, but you get everything at the hardware store. There's nothing. You just get it at the hardware store, and it's relatively cheap.
I believe he was talking about the copper pole J-pole. which is getting expensive because of copper right now. But the copper pole, J pole, is only going to work for 2 meters. I think we're limited to you can't do 70 centimeters because the dimensions of the copper pipe, over.
Yeah, copy that. I follow you, and that makes sense. And that makes sense. It'd be something you could get at the hardware store. But like you mentioned, copper is getting kind of expensive. All right, sounds good. Ryan, I think I'm going to head out to a late lunch here, but I do appreciate the QSO. Congratulations on the antenna. And again, great signal. I'm still looking at the dashboard here. You have really good numbers. Have a good one, Brian. N8WRO, after you, sir.
Okay, I just wanted to throw in there that I got one of those nano VNAs. That thing is amazing. It is absolutely amazing, and I'm running around checking all my antennas right now. Okay, nice talking to 1073s, N8WRO to N8DZR. We are clear.
N8WRO clear as well. Have a good one, Brian. Thanks.
JFA-DPZ, before both of you take off, I just want to point something out. I've got one of those copper gate poles that was set up for 2 meters. It works fairly well in 70 centimeter, but the business that I bought it from makes them in a variety of sizes. They have a 70 centimeter dedicated J-pole made with copper plate. They also have a 6 meter one and a 222 megahertz one. And you guys want the link to that, so you can please look at them?
Yeah, sure. I'd be interested in looking at them. I thought that you could do it for 70 centimeters, but, you know, it would be different dimensions, I think. Can you do a dual band, do you know, Brian? Cliff, can you do a dual band J-pole that does 2 meters and 70 centimeters, over?
Go ahead, Cliff. I'll just monitor N8WRO. I'm listening, though.
Copy that, Tim. Yeah, Brian, actually, Aero Antenna makes one out of aluminum. It is a true dual band J-pole because it has three elements on it. There's the longest one is for 2 meter, and then the medium length one works as the tuning stub for that. But then there's an even shorter one that works as a tuning stub for the medium length one for the 70 centimeter range. And so basically the way they wire it is that the middle length element is the one that goes to the center of the coax, and the shield goes to the other two. So yeah, there's a company out there that actually makes a true dual band J-pole. But the one I have, I got from this guy, basically it's 2 meter, and it's what I was using before I put the cell phone antenna up on my mast. And it worked just fine in both 2 meter and 70 centimeter. It just didn't have quite as good a range in 70 centimeter as it did in 2 meter.
Yeah, from what I understand, the 70 centimeters will resonate as the third harmonic on 2 meters, but the signal tends to aim itself at a higher takeoff point. It aims itself at like 45 degrees into the air. But there is ways that you can run it and do tricks to it to make it work at for us, dual band antenna, to bring that elevation angle down. And I got to do some research to figure that out. The antenna you're talking about, is that's three elements. Is that on like a flat plate, flat horizontal plate, and there's three elements poking out of it? Over?
Kind of the idea. They actually put it on a piece of angle aluminum, basically to make it easy to mount on something too so it'll sit flat. But yes, all three elements stick out of the same plate. The plate itself is shield slash ground, is what, as you want to call it, and the middle element is basically isolated, and that's actually where the coax connection goes as well. So yeah, I'm going to shoot you guys the links for them so that you can actually take a look at these. Before I picked up the cell phone antenna, I was actually looking at building one of those Aero antenna J-poles because you can pick up all the parts at the hardware store.
Before you picked up what antenna? Say again?
I picked up the antenna that I'm talking on now. It's an Alpha Antenna UV6. Before I bought that, I was going to go out and buy the materials and build one of those three-element J-poles.
Roger that. Okay, cool. Oh, I understand now. Hey, Cliff, I was going to ask you, when you stick that pole 32 feet in the air, how do you get it down? You shimmy up that pole to work on the antenna?
Well, there's the expensive option and the cheap option. The expensive option is rent a man lift. The cheap option is, and it's pretty straightforward, is they go down to the bottom. And the mast is clamped to its ground pole, which is buried 8 feet in the ground, clamped to the ground rod. And I take the U-bolts off from there, and then up on a stepladder, I loosen and release the strap clamps that hold it to the side of the house. And then from there, it's a two-man job. One person on the roof, one person on the bottom. The person on the bottom picks, you know, helps lift it up. You both lift. And then the person on the bottom just backs away from the house slowly while the person on top lifts the mast down until it's laying on a 45-degree angle on the edge of the roof, or maybe a little shallower angle, at which point you can get to the antenna or anything else that you might need to work on.
Any DGR for ID? Oh, yeah, okay, I get it. And that's fence rail post, I think you told me, right? Would you call it top rail post? Over?
Negative. It is 1.25-inch galvanized pipe. It's meant for use with water and high-pressure gases and stuff like that. Yeah, it's a lot more rust-resistant than black pipe.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I'm looking forward to those dimensions. I got some more work to do in the kitchen. I'll come back and take a look later. So, hey, thanks a lot, Cliff. I really appreciate it. Well, you're a real big help, you know, with this ARPRC stuff. You're awesome. I really like all the help that you give me. Okay, 73, Pia, I got to get back to work in the kitchen. Get stuff to get ready for work week. Thanks for the QSO, Cliff. And this is any DZR will be clear after your file.
Copy that, Brian. No problem. Always happy to help. That's one of the things that we all do for each other out here. And with that, I'm going to go back to being quiet and monitoring myself. This is KF18BZ, 73CO, and all the other good numbers. Clear and monitoring.
NABZR, monitoring statewide 1.
NABZR, November 8, X-ray Zulu.
NABZR, monitoring statewide 1.
KEAWX, statewide 1.
Hey, Dean, NAWRO, thinking you might be either getting off work or going in.
Hey, Tim, actually neither. I'm still on my 4 days off. I have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday off.
Ah, that's nice. That's always nice, the 4 days work. Yeah, it's the 6 o'clock hour tricks me because I know that's shift change, I think, for you guys.
I think they try to stagger it, so right now my schedule's 5 to 5. I think they try to stagger it so that there's not, you know, everybody taking their stations down at the same time, which makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. I didn't realize that there, but that does make a lot of sense, yeah. Well, you did miss a good meeting. I hope you got the audio for it. So just that, you know, some tidbits we certainly didn't know about MI5. It was a good deal there.
Yeah, copy that. I was sent the link. I haven't had a chance to watch it. Right now I'm working on some stuff because I had talked to the boss, and we're done playing. We're just going to start all over. So I've been working on that and trying to catch up on some home stuff. So I've been on the quiet side.
Okay, copy that. You're talking about your project, then. Yeah, that makes sense. Wasn't aware of that. That's probably a good idea, though.
Yeah, copy that. It was just getting old. They're not moving on it. I've given them paper copies. I've given them numbers, so on and so forth, and they're just not willing to, not willing to undo it. But the ability to talk to a human and not some AI interface is darn near next to impossible unless you've created, a federal crime.
Yeah, I hate those situations in certain organizations when you just can't, no matter what you do, get a live body. It just doesn't work out. But anyways, other than that, got a lot going on with the Hoyt phones, and I know you're they probably don't have time to keep up with that, but that was interesting. Oh, and when you get a chance, and I know you're busy, Dean, so, you know, whenever, but if you could log into the website. I'm not sure if it's working right, if you can see where the DOB goes, but we could use your middle name and your DOB when time permits.
John has it. He asked for it earlier. So that's probably what he used it for. And John probably has my middle name up there because him and I had a conversation about it. I think it was right after the last net. We had a conversation because I have a initial only middle name.
Oh, very good. Okay, that'll be fine then. Yep. Yeah, as long as you've got it, then that's one of us, either one, that's fine.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because a lot of people look at, like, my paperwork, like my license and stuff, and they go, oh, there's a letter there for his middle name. They don't actually realize that is my middle name. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, that'll work out fine. We're looking forward to some training coming up, I guess, for even some directly related to the upcoming set for spring. So always seems to be popular for WinLink to get a little active again, like we did before, right? So maybe we'll see if we can't give our site in Mount Clemens a workout and get to the bottom of it to see, you know, if it is working as it should or not. And then even if that's not the case, we could try that peer-to-peer, because I don't think we've ever tried that. And that's still RF, so I'd like to give that a shot. So, yeah, the boss is asking for training ideas. So a lot of us are throwing stuff out at him.
Copy that. Yeah, as far as the WinLink goes, I was talking to John, and I think it's, in all honesty, I think it's equipment-related. Whether it be antenna, coax, something like that, because what we fixed was for the, I can't think of the name of it, APRS. We put a new APRS antenna up there. So I think it's equipment related, honestly. Somebody tried saying possibly interference, but I feel like at that frequency, we'd have, like, horrible interference with all the other VHF systems up there.
Yeah, that sounds about right. We'll just have to get with the guy that helped us out with that from Central Michigan, Randy. He's on our Discord page, WF5X, I believe. And I think while even the weather gets a little bit nicer, I'll do the testing that I used to do over at St. Clair County with Riley's machine. I know how that works. I know how it's supposed to work. It works. It just doesn't seem to have the range that it's supposed to have, I think. And that kind of coincides with what you just described. Something's wrong with the antenna, feed line, something, it seems.
Well, the general complaint that I was hearing is that to get into our system, you had to have like 40 watts and only be a couple miles away, which just sounds a little on the obnoxious side for me.
NAWRO, correct. That just doesn't seem to be up to specs, so to speak. In fact, it may not even work to the MIC building where our training class is. So we'll have to see on that. But it would be nice to get a few more people trained because it is popular for the set, and of course we get points for that as well. But other stuff is happening too. So antennas were quite popular, so might do another antenna maybe. So some other ideas as well.
KELAX. Yeah, I mean, antennas, I kind of like our little antenna training just because.
Yeah, in fact, there he is, the man himself. Brian, DZR, we got you in there. He's the one that we were talking with earlier. He did his Ed Fong antenna, and he was talking about the J-Pole. One, you could conceivably get the material at a hardware store for. So why don't you go ahead, Brian, and then pass it off to Dean.
Did you say that situation was on the 7.2? And, yeah, that'd be really cool. I have one that I paid Ed Fong and his class to make and ship to me. Which worked really well, and I still have it, but I definitely would not be opposed to making another one or possibly making one on the GMRS side. Go ahead, Brian, answer my first question, if you don't mind, and then pass it back over to Tim.
I'm sorry, Dean. The way I got these radios set up, they scan and they change channels right in the middle of a conversation. I missed the question. Yeah, I missed everything you said. Could you please say again?
Just to make it brief, did you say that situation was coming across the 7.2? And the second thing was, yes, the extra twin lead would be awesome.
Yeah, something happened on 7.2, and there was somebody drove in a ditch, and I'm just monitoring it right now, trying to listen to two different radios. Yeah, I got covered for some twin leads, no problem. I bought extra because I thought I'd screw it up, and I just, you know, so I bought enough for a couple antennas. And next I'm going to make a roll-up one so I can add it to my itty-bitty little radio in my little go bag, you know, and I can just pop that thing up and stick it, hook it onto something, anything, and, you know, we'll have a roll-up to go.
All right, sounds interesting there, Brian. I'm monitoring 7.2 also. So far, nothing. Curious if it was one of our repeaters or one of the Central Michigan ones, but we'll just listen. Yeah, antennas are interesting. I have to admit that I'm more of a store-bought or brand-name antenna guy myself for actual antennas I put up, but that doesn't mean I don't like looking at how they're made and looking at the theory. I think that's interesting. I think we need to know that. I'm going to reverse it back to Dean. Go ahead, Dean.
Yeah, I agree with that. And for putting them up on the house, having something sealed and manufactured, I agree with you there, Tim. But for things like camping, you know, making yourself a roll up and throwing it up in a tree or something like that. I can see the value in both setups. Brian, over to you. KEOAX for ID.
N8BZR for ID. Or N8 Bravo Zulu Romeo. I got to get used to that name. Yeah, I agree. I agree with you 100%. But I'm pretty impressed with this antenna. I stuck it in a piece of PVC, and it looks pretty rigid and solid. I'm thinking about putting it on top of my house. I got it sitting next to my bed right now. It's standing up vertical in the bedroom, and I'm talking through the walls and everything to you guys. Of course, I'm pretty close to, you know, Clemens or Peter. But, you know, another thing is that Nano VNA, that thing was fantastic. That thing, man, that thing blew my mind, how easy it was to use, and that's another important part of antenna design, you know, that you check the antenna and make sure it's right before you go and transmit on it. Okay, go ahead, Tim.
So I think I already know the answer to this, but I don't have a Nano yet. I only have a Stan SWR meter that I've always used where you put it in line with the radio and check SWR that way, and it works. But my understanding is, and Dean, I know you could probably answer this, you don't need a radio with a Nano. You can just put that on after you've installed an antenna, and you can get a reading without even transmitting, I believe. And then topic number two, the only antenna issue I have right now is the GMRS antenna that's on a ground plane. It's on one of those old TV holders that used to be before they had LCD TVs. It has kind of a flat piece of metal to it, really made for inside, but I repurposed it. I have it one story up, and it's a nice little platform to plop a mag mount GMRS antenna. And for about 3 years, it's working fine. But ever since this past winter, something's up with it because the signal is not very good. So I'm going to have to get in there and test the joints or, you know, see what's wrong with that. NHWRO, over to you, Dean.
You're correct, Tim. You do not need a radio. It is a very, very capable little piece of equipment, and I'm definitely a lot cheaper than getting one of those really, really nice, expensive antenna analyzers. But there is a learning curve to learning how to use an ANOVNA. But it's if you get a good one, there's Chinese knockoffs. If you get a good one, they're very, very good pieces of equipment to have in your bag or on your desk.
Yeah. Hey, Tim, we should have a training class on the Nano VNA, too. That'd be another great class. It'd be pretty easy to teach that, except the only problem is, especially with all us older people in our eyes, I don't know how well we could do it looking at the... Well, I guess we could do it if we look on the screen and blow it up, because nobody's going to have one in their hand. Let me think here. You know what I mean? They're very tiny, and you can't see so good unless you got some glasses on. And everybody's not going to have one. So, yeah, I guess they would if we could put it on the, on the whiteboard up there. We could explain how that works there or do like a video. I'm just thinking out loud. I'm sorry, guys. And second item. Tim, I saw another interesting YouTube. The guy took a piece of straight wire. He took a piece of 14-gauge wire insulated, and he bent it, and he made a GMRS antenna, and he shoved it in a piece of PVC. That thing was awesome. It was only 36 inches long, I think. Go ahead. Who's next, Tim?
Yeah, as long as the SWR is okay on that, he must have had some former knowledge on how to do that to make sure it's right, but... actually, Brian, it's a good idea is to incorporate that with, if we do another antenna class, go the extra mile and actually check it for SWR in class, because like you guys are saying, and Wally told me before, you don't need a radio for that to work. And that, I know that it does, that device does a lot of stuff. I'll be honest with you, the only thing I care about is SWR. That's what I want to learn, how that works. And yes, Dean, I'll probably end up getting a good quality one at one point because I will have some antenna work. And I know people will say, well, you can use my, I'm not probably going to want one of my own for my own kit. But yeah, Brian, that's a good idea. Incorporate it. If Mike ends up doing another antenna class, we'll have the guys that have them go ahead and bring some. And oddly enough for me, when it comes to close vision, I have to take my glasses off and I can see fine real close, but, I just can't see far away, though. NHWRO, over to you, Dean.
It's usable, so the two things I use it for, and I've got my screen set up for, is I have my Smith chart set up there for impedance, and I also have SWR up on the same screen, so I can see what the SWR and the impedance of the system is across a structure frequency. That's the invaluable part. But Brian, just so that you know, you can actually plug your Nano VNA into the laptop, and there's a program you can download which puts your screen and all of your data up on a computer screen.
I'm sorry. You said, Brian, just to let you know, and then my radio switched channels on me. Could you say again, Dean?
With the Nano VNAs, there is a program that you can put on your laptop or desktop computer hook your VNA up to the USB port, and you can get all of your data up on your computer screen.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I got to learn how to do that next. Then we could put it on the display up there. We could display it, you know, at a meeting and put it on the big board. Yeah, that's awesome. Oh, and another thing, Tim, there's nothing wrong with a static SWR meter. It does the same thing, except the only thing with a nano is it's doing a bunch of frequencies. So if you wave the antenna around, you can see it. The SWR changed a little bit, but there's nothing wrong with a static SWR meter. And I bought one from MJF or MFJ or what, that place, pretty popular place. I forget the name of it, MFJ or MJF. I bought one before they went out of business. I bought a used one for $30, and they sent it to me, and there wasn't a thing wrong with it. There was no nicks, no scratches, no nothing. It just didn't have any packaging. And I love that little meter. I love a little analog meter. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, in the old days, they used to call MFJ Mighty Fine Junk. But that actually wasn't true in my estimation. I had some good meters from those guys. Relatively good. I now have Dewa. I think it's a Dewa meter. And that's pretty accurate. It's not cheap. It's the opposing needle meter. And it works fine. Also, I think you guys might have noticed I posted it. I got a Astron power supply, linear, and it's 20 amps. Maybe I should have gone for the 30, but I got the four radios on it, but the argument is you only transmit one radio at a time. So I think this is fine. It's getting dark a little bit here in the shack now, and I have to admit the analog meters look nice, lit up with lights. So, and I'm looking at it right now. We're transmitting on the Kinect systems, pushing out 8 watts, I guess, or no, that's probably more like 7, I guess. Over to you, Dean.
Yeah, we were kicking around here, doing some cleanup, and all of a sudden I found a power supply that they didn't want it to work. I brought the thing home, and I forgot all about it. There's a triploid analog. It's analog. It's a Papa Romeo -7 Bravo. So it's a 100-watt analog supply. It's not digital. That's not a switcher. And it does 13.8 volts. It's set up for 13.8 volts with 7-amp output, and it looks really great. I've got to do some testing on that thing, make sure it's A-OK. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, well, I just got to thinking because, you know, like Skywarn's coming up and stuff, and I was reusing my Pyramid power supply from the 90s, and it still works, although it's buzzing like crazy on and off. It stops, and then it starts buzzing. And it's just like, you know, if this thing gives out, I have no backup whatsoever. And, you know, if I end up, I don't know if I'm going to be doing, I'll do Skywarn, of course, like everybody, but if I end up doing the Micon station, I don't want it to, you know, fail right in the middle of a Micon net. That would not be good. So I figure I have backup. Now, and this Astron is quiet. There, you click it on. There isn't a clunk like you usually have with the other ones, and this is just quiet, no buzz whatsoever. So it was pricey. I'm not so there's that, but then you get what you pay for, I guess. NAWRO, go ahead, Dean.
Yeah, I'll get there. I had those issues with the one radio, and I was supposed to get parts and get it over to Brian over there, and I just have not gotten to it whatsoever. So now I'm kind of on the fence if I even want to do it. I probably still will at some point just because, you know, it's an extra working radio. But,
yeah, we'll get that figured out. Back over to you, Brian. KE8LAX.
Nothing heard. I don't know if I didn't transmit or not. Jim, over to you.
No, you were good, Dean, there. Just waiting for Brian. Maybe he got a phone call or perhaps didn't hear the last, but your transmission was good. But with that, I think I might jump out, guys. I'm thinking about maybe a little dinner. And we got to start the new week there. So I assume you go back to work, right, Dean, and if this is your last on a four-day, unless you got tomorrow off, too. How about back over to you, Dean, and then give it to Brian again after that and see what happens.
Sounds good, 73's Tim. I've got tomorrow off, too. The schedule's going to be a little wonky for tomorrow because I went and got my eye exam done and my new glasses are in. So I have to pick those up in the morning. So that'll kind of throw me off a little bit. But, I do have the rest of today and tomorrow off, and I go back Tuesday. So, but 73's, enjoy your dinner. Brian, over to you.
Yeah, guys, I'm going to back out of here, too, in a minute. I was just wondering what your new job is, if you want to talk about it. If you don't want to, that's cool, too. Dean. 73's, Tim, and I'm going to back out of here, too. Go ahead and answer that, and I'm going to back out of here, too. I got some dinner burning on the stove. Okay, see you guys later, 73's, NAGZR. I'll be clear after your final.
Yeah, copy that, Brian, 73's. I work with the boss in the dispatch room for MedStar. I don't have an issue talking about it. 73's everyone, I'm going to keep the radio on, but everyone have a good night, and we'll talk soon. This is KE8 LAX. I'll be clear.